Good morning again. And if you'll open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians, but chapter 2. This other way. And we are continuing to launch off this passage. I'm starting at verse 10. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly, uprightly, and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we're examining for a little bit here, we're examining God's use of this idea of our walk through the New Testament. And again, we looked last week at the fact that this walk that we're called to is about a consistent movement forward. It's about growth. We talked about the fact that this walk is described as a walk that is worthy of God. It fits with God. It's worthy of God. In Colossians 1, it's worthy of the Lord. And we're trying to look at a few ideas that strengthen our idea of what is it we're pursuing, what is it God's calling us to, and what is it we're pursuing in this movement forward, in this progressive journey with God and in Christ and Christ in us. What are some of the qualities of this walk that God wants us aware of in choosing? So we looked at it that it's a walk that is built on knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And not just knowledge, wisdom, and understanding for their own sake, but that are aimed toward change. That this walk is specifically pleasing to Him, and that it leads us to good work. And we went to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where we were told that those good works... I hope nobody was copying that down while I was... Okay. This was last week. So... I'm going to erase all that. But that recognition that those works were thought about, this God before time, this God outside of time, knowing us, knowing our days, knowing the moments of our life, that God prepared good work and said, walk with me in those works. There is purpose to your life. There is direction to your life. I'm interceding. I'm active. I'm present in your life. And hopefully the vision of purpose that instills in our day, that you and I are just not randomly living from day to day. If you're a son of God, if you're a daughter of God, your life can't be random. My life can't be random. That there is an activity and a purpose of a thinking, planning God involved in those good works showing up in the moments in which those possibilities show up for us to pursue. But now I'd like us to turn to, turn back to Colossians 1, because we're not finished with that passage even. Because he says this, starting at verse 10, after the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, so that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And there's a couple of things I want us to try to harvest out of this passage still before we move away from this particular aspect of the walk. Because along with pleasing and along with good works, he tells us that our equipping for this walk is powerful. We have powerful equipping for this walk. And one of the really amazing things about God is that he's equipping us powerfully in an invisible way. I have a couple I work with, and they have a young boy. I think he's about 8 now. But when he was about 6, this young boy has already accepted Christ. And they were at a store, and somebody else was trying to deal with their kid, and their child was crying. And this little 6-year-old boy said, you know, that little child needs comfort. Mom, let's pray for him right now. And right out loud, that kid just started standing there in the aisle of the store and started praying and praising and interceding on behalf of this other disconsolate, tearful child. And somebody could look at that moment and go, oh, how sweet. Isn't that precious, that little boy thinking he's actually doing something worthwhile? And I am 100% confident that God was saying, my little son is learning power. My little son is learning the authority he has in the kingdom of God to intercede for others. And it's got nothing to do with how old he is. It's got nothing to do with how many passages of scripture he's memorized. Although I can tell you this about this particular boy. He's probably memorized more scripture than me. This little 6-year-old is powerfully equipped. You are powerfully equipped. And all through the New Testament, we keep running into this idea that God's saying, when you face a moment of opportunity, someone else needs prayer, someone else needs wisdom, someone else needs comfort, someone needs encouragement, someone needs loving correction, someone needs direction, someone needs help, someone needs someone to come over and clean the house, someone needs someone to come over and help mow the lawn, someone needs someone to give them a ride. Someone needs someone to just hold them and cry with them for 2 or 3 or 6 hours. That God's saying, I promise you, you're equipped for that moment. And your equipping is not about you. Your equipping is about Jesus Christ dwelling within you. So in your walk and your pursuit, your readiness with God, okay, Father, this good work stuff that you have planned for my day, I'm ready. And that right after me being ready, I have to say, I'm ready because you're powerfully ready to equip me. That I'm not going to this moment in the power and the authority and the equipping of Reg Larkin or insert your own name. This moment is supernatural. This opportunity, this conversation, I'm equipped for. Now, I also want to add this. The enemy will be right there to go, well, that wasn't good enough. The enemy will be right there for doubt and accusation. And again, the clarity, the wisdom of our choice is, Father, I am choosing the life and the power of Jesus Christ for this moment. I'm choosing that. And because I'm choosing it and you're faithful, I can be 100% confident that you're getting something supernatural done in this moment. And it might not look like it. That other person might not respond the way you wanted. That person might not respond with humility and joy to your correction. That person might not respond with an uplifted heart to your encouragement. That other person might not suddenly go, wow, thanks for coming over to mow my lawn. Can I bow down with you and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior right now? That moment might not happen that way. But that God is saying, because you chose me and I promised you, this moment had power and purpose in my kingdom. You know, and I liked what Hal shared about prayer because I think that idea is woven through Scripture and the idea that this is an eternal, timeless God. So that when I'm praying for somebody and that moment passes me by and I'm thinking, well, you know, Father, I chose you and I was available and I didn't see anything really important happen. That my next thought gets to be, but Father, thank you. You are going to continue to work. And in fact, I'm going to keep praying for fruit. This passage says that we would bear fruit in every good work. Father, I'm going to keep praying that this action that I chose to do in partnership with Jesus Christ continues to bear fruit because of your attention and you're nurturing it for some gain out of that moment. And I think way too often, I believe this has happened in my life, and I bet it happens in a lot of other lives, is that because it didn't look very powerful, in a sense, I assume we're done with that moment. And I believe that there are plenty of times when the Holy Spirit would say, Reg, please don't stop praying about this moment. Please don't stop praying for that person. So you had that little 30-second interaction, or you offered some help to this person. Don't let go of your expectation that I still want to bring fruitful gain out of that moment. Stay in prayer. So that part of our walk, part of this increasing, growing walk is I keep believing this promise of equipping more and more and more, and it changes my expectations, and then it changes what I do because of those expectations. I keep praying for that apparently powerless moment. I keep praying for that apparently cold heart. I keep praying for that apparently unrepentant heart. I keep praying for that moment when it didn't seem like my contribution had value. And I'm praying for it because I'm recognizing I chose to do that with you, living God, and you're the one who makes that moment powerful. Not how well or eloquently or impressively I did it, you. Now, he goes on to say this, which I think is another powerful aspect of our walk. He says, giving thanks in verse 12, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, this whole passage, and in fact every passage that's like this in the New Testament, is founded on something. And one of the things that we can recognize that he's teaching us here is in this walk, you are qualified for this walk. Now, if I could give all of you truth serum and drink some myself, and then I asked, how many of you this week, this past week, or the past 7 days, how many of you felt a moment of disqualification? Where you felt like you were not qualified to be God's man or God's woman in a particular moment, a particular situation. You weren't quite up to it. You were wishing or hoping that he had put someone else in there. And part of the amazing truth that flows from this is God saying, you know what? If I've prepared good works beforehand for you to walk in them, and suddenly as you're walking with me, you're standing there in the moment of opportunity, I'm promising you, not only are you powerfully equipped, but woven and blended into that is you are qualified for this moment. You are qualified both by the cleansing of Jesus Christ and the covering of his righteousness. Because usually where we feel disqualified has something to do with the accuser speaking. The enemy in some way or another saying, well, you know, I'm looking here at your history, and I'm pretty sure this history means you're not qualified for this moment. And if that's all we had was history, the enemy would be right. You and I would be disqualified. But instead, we borrow the history of Jesus Christ. We borrow the qualification. We borrow the standing and the position of Jesus Christ. So you are going to face a moment this week, this next 7 days, of opportunity for growth and to walk in good works that God prepared. And I hope that as you face those moments, you will actually speak the truth of this passage back to God in agreement. That you and I would be saying, Father, I want to agree with you that because of Jesus Christ, I am qualified for this moment. And because of Jesus Christ, I am powerfully equipped for this moment. And person after person after person in Scripture looked like they weren't the right person, looked like they weren't powerfully equipped, looked like they weren't qualified. And God sets all of that aside. And maybe a little bit. But that recognition that Moses argued with God about his disqualification. Now, if God showed up in a burning bush in front of me, I'm not sure what it would take for me to have an argument with him. But at the very least, I'd have to be really sure I was right. Moses was really sure he was right. Moses was absolutely confident that he was disqualified to be that man. I don't know what God thinks in those moments. Burning bush, power of God, and you're arguing with me? But we do that all the time. Power of God, Word of God, miraculous revelation of God, and we argue with Him all the time. And so this is the moment we're looking for into the week ahead is, Father, I want to be ready in that moment that I don't argue with you like Moses. I agree with you like Elijah. I agree with you like Jeremiah. I agree with you and I say, here I am. And I'm saying here I am not because I'm really impressed with who I am. I'm saying here I am because I'm really impressed at who's calling me. And several times we've hit that already, that this is a calling into this walk. I'm impressed with the one who called me. Worthy of the God who called you. Not the ignorant, misinformed, bad manager who called you, but the reigning God of the universe who knows everything called you. And as soon as I could start arguing with him about why I'm disqualified, I'm sure just like Moses, he would have to say, Reg, do you remember who you're talking to? Do you remember who called you? And do you comprehend that my calling always comes with powerful equipping? And now I decree you are qualified. Now if you'll turn to Romans chapter 6. You thought I was going to say 8. That comes next. When young Carson was baptized just a few weeks ago, we read this passage at his baptism. Starting at verse 3 of Romans 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now you'll notice in verse 4 that he's now describing another aspect, another layer of understanding and truth to our walk. That this walk is in newness of life. And God does not waste page after page of Scripture, because if we were to go through the New Testament, we could gather many passages that are about the recognition of this, that in Christ we are dead to sin, but alive to God. And he tells us, reckon this true. Walk this way. Walk like someone who's dead to sin. Walk like someone who's alive to God in a newness of life where you agree with God that the old life is over. So he's talking again about a mindset that means I will walk different. I will walk stronger. I will walk more progressively and more growth-oriented. If I'm comprehending and agreeing with God, I am dead to sin. Now, if you walked with me through the week, spent all my waking moments with me, took notes all week long, at the end of the week, you really would say, Reg doesn't look like he's dead to sin. I have a number of instances I've listed here where I saw Reg sin. There was a sin of attitude. There was something that fell short of Jesus Christ. And I saw it happen. I was right there. I know some of you have that list. That recognition that if I followed you or you followed me, we would look unfinished. So in this, God is not claiming that we're finished. And he's not claiming that if we don't look finished, we're failing. But what he is saying is, your walk will be more powerful and more effective if you agree with me on this truth and you keep growing in how this truth expands itself into your awareness and how this truth deepens in the way you face those moments. And when you're at that rough moment of temptation, more and more and more, you choose a new and living way instead of the old dead way. Now, I know I've probably mentioned this phrase or some version of this phrase 100 times over recent years, but there's no way I can say that's just who I am. If it's about sin, it is not who you are in Christ. Now, your hair color, you know, some of the things you're good at and some of the things you're not so good at, there might be a lot of genetic inheritance in those qualities. When it comes to sin, God is saying, I've put you in a new kingdom and a new place of power and authority so that now you can't say, that's just who I am. That anger problem, that tendency to lust, that meanness, that selfishness, that rudeness, there is no way in the world that God will concede to the enemy that territory in your life. And he doesn't want you and I conceding that territory to the enemy. So that I get to keep agreeing with God, Father, I am called, qualified, and equipped and empowered to live a new life. A new life. And to even more and more keep believing that in this walk, I'm dead to the enemy. The enemy is talking to a dead man when he's trying to tempt me. And I would be a fool to sit up in that grave, so to speak, and start the conversation with the enemy when I am dead to that kingdom and alive in a new kingdom. And in this kingdom, I get to have a conversation with the reigning God of the universe. And that will be about a new thing and a powerful thing. Now, one of the reasons I'm bringing this up is because God doesn't keep using this vision or this image all through Scripture as just an interesting little metaphor. He really is saying, this is true. Learn to think this way. It will change how you grow. It will change how you grow. Now flip over to Romans 8. At last, we're in Romans 8. Starting in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that, why did he do all that? So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now he continues on with that idea, but we're going to pause there because he's adding another thing about this walk. This walk is pursued and lived according to the Spirit. And this word according is worth understanding because it carries with it several ideas. It means fitting with. It means agreeing with. It means submitting to the authority of. There's other layers of meaning that those are some of the real applicable important ones for right now. That God is saying, I want you to think this way. That you're in a vivid living conversation with the Spirit of God. And what you're saying is, I want to walk in this moment, and man, this conversation matters. I want to walk in this moment in a way that fits with you. I want to walk in this moment or face this moment, this difficult moment, this challenging moment, this moment where I don't want to do the right thing, but I know you call me to something different than what I want. In this moment, I want to start agreeing with you. That means you and I need a conversation, God. We need a conversation. When Scripture commands us to pray without ceasing, it's a simple concept. God just means don't stop talking with me. He's not talking about waiting till you can bow your head and fold your hands and close your eyes. We need those moments when we pull away from everything to pray. But he's talking about stay in the conversation all day long, because you're going to need that conversation if you're going to agree with me. You're called to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fitted with the Spirit, agreeing with the Spirit, submitting to the authority of the Spirit. And again, simple concept. But it means I remain in conversation with the Spirit. Did I spell that right? All the letters are there, even if you can't see them. That I'm learning to be in a conversation. Now, I know we come to this idea frequently, but I want to dwell on it for just another moment. Please examine this past week and consider how consistently did I stay in the conversation with God. Try to think of it in real terms. What did my day look like? What are the moments I can look back and say, I was definitely not in the conversation then? What are the moments I can look back at and say, well, Father, praise God, thank you. In this moment, I stayed in the conversation. So you can ignore me talking for a few seconds here. Just a few seconds. You can ignore me talking for a few seconds to actively review your week and get that sense of, how did I stay in the conversation? And the point of that, again, is not condemnation or guilt or shame or failure. It is about growth. Okay, I'm looking back at how that looked. What would it look like to do that more this week? And what would help me to do that? What would remind me to do that? Now, most of you, not all of you, but most of you would be helped by a visual reminder. So there are so many situations in counseling through the week when I'm working with people where a visual reminder ends up being a helpful tool. Something you put on your dashboard in your car, something you put on the mirror in your bathroom, something you hang from the chandelier right in the middle of the living room, something you put somewhere in your physical environment that you and God would know every time I see that thing hanging there, that's my reminder that I want to be in the conversation more frequently. Now, if you're looking back at a week and you can say, wow, thank you, Father. Thank you for the work in my life, because I was in that conversation a lot this week. Then maybe whatever you're already doing is working great. But if you can look back and you can see some gaps in that week, some moments and some hours, and maybe even huge chunks of the day when you can go, I don't think much conversation was happening, then I would encourage you, find something, plan something, pick something that you're going to put in your physical environment that you will have to see. You will have to bump into it. You won't be able to avoid it. It will get your attention. Now, you don't have to tell anybody what it's for. So you don't need your husband, your wife, your friend, your buddy, your kids, your parents nagging you about it. Hey, dude, you've been praying? You've been talking? You don't need that. Now, if you trust them to be good encouragement, go ahead and let them know. But you will know, and God will know, that thing hanging there, sticking there, grabbing your attention, is to remind you, oh, that's right, Father, back into the conversation. Back into the conversation. Now, what would be even smarter and more practical is if you operate in several different environments. You operate in the kitchen a lot, you operate in the bathroom a lot, you operate at work a lot, you operate in the backyard a lot, you operate. Anyway, you go a lot of different places, but you know, it is a predictable thing that some significant portion of my day will be spent in this location. Put a reminder in all those locations. So that whether it's the kitchen or the bathroom or the backyard or your office at work or your car, something will remind you, I love this conversation. Father, you love this conversation. And I've put a few things in my environment to remind me to get back into the conversation without guilt. But I'm just going to accept the reminder because this is so important. If I'm going to be fitted to your spirit, if I'm going to be submitting to your spirit, if I'm going to be agreeing with your spirit, I want to be in communion and conversation with your spirit. So I hope that didn't sound too crazy, but it works. It helps. Do something. If you're not going to do that, do something different that will work better. So if you don't want to do that, don't do less. Do something else that's more. So you can throw my idea away. That idea isn't commanded in Scripture. There's therefore thou shalt hang stuff from your living room chandelier. The details aren't the point. But God did say it with Israel. You know that. In fact, go to Deuteronomy. Make sure I can find it. So after God had given them the word, this is Deuteronomy 6, I'm sorry, starting at verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them, my words, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So God really is saying, I know you. You're forgetful. I know you. You're forgetful. And you're going to be distracted by your day unless you embed right in your day. You're going to be distracted by taking care of your house unless you have actually used your house as part of the reminder. So for this conversation in your life to go, and remember, everything we're talking about in this walk with God is about growth. So if you can look at the end of this next 6 days and simply say, Father, this is pretty cool. You and I were actually talking more this week than we talked the previous week. The God of the universe, and I'm not trying to make this sound trivial, the God of the universe will say, I agree that that was pretty cool. I'm calling that growth. I'm calling that gain. I'm calling that walking in the right direction with me, that you intensified and increased this conversation of love between us. So I would strongly encourage you, find a way, make a way, choose a way that will remind you to be in that conversation. But back in Romans 8, he says this. Bring it back there. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So he's talking about a choice that I'm going to set my mind to this. So it's a strong word. Set means I have a plan, I have a commitment, and I periodically attend to make sure I'm geared in that direction. Now I'll also turn over to Galatians chapter 5, which also follows up on this idea. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 16 of Galatians 5, he says, But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So one of the things that's beautiful about that promise is he saying, if you make this choice to be listening to the Spirit, to be conversing with my Spirit, to be agreeing with my Spirit, to be submitting to the authority of my Spirit, guess what? While you're busy doing that, you and I will have defeated the flesh. And we were talking about this upstairs in the G4 class, that choosing to just sin less isn't what God's aiming for. He's not just saying, why don't you clean up your act a little bit? That bad habit you have, do that bad habit a little bit less. That sort of mean-spirited thing you do every now and then, try to do that a little bit less. That is not what he's aiming for. What he's saying is, I actually want to crowd that out and replace that with something righteous. I want to replace that mean moment with something gracious and kind and loving. I want to replace it with majestic things. So here's where this passage ends. Verse 16, walk by the Spirit, but drop down to 22. Because the fruit of the Spirit, and you're very familiar with this list. And this is what Artem read for us just a little earlier. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So that in this walk with God, again, I'm not just trying to walk with God to keep myself from sinning. That is part of the outcome, but it is not the goal. The goal is growing in the majestic, powerful character and priorities of Jesus Christ dwelling within me. That's what this walk is all about. This walk is all about Jesus Christ more in me, more through me, more of Jesus Christ, fitted with me and me fitted with him. And so this walking in the Spirit doesn't just mean you look a little better. It means you and I are different men and different women carrying out different purposes. And the character of God gets reflected and revealed in them. Now again, the challenge is, what would that look like? So think about your relationships. That's almost always the main area of challenge. What would your relationships and my relationships look like this week if there was more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness? And it wasn't just because we were trying to behave better. It's because we're actually choosing the life and power of Jesus Christ for that moment. So please envision that. Please agree with God on that vision and plan for that vision. We are nowhere near done. Let's pray together. Father, there are so many layers to the walk that you call us to. And every layer your word adds teaches us something or reminds us of something or deepens our vision and understanding of what's really involved and what's really at stake and how things really get done in your kingdom. Father, I pray that we would not just even be impressed with your word, even acknowledge the truth of your word, but then, as James says, then walk away from your word, forgetting what we heard. But Father, that me in my week, and each one of us in our week, would willfully be in agreement with you to intensify the conversation. And not just to say we did it. We're intensifying the conversation so that our walk is more powerful. We're intensifying the conversation so that we can hear you and agree with you more this week than we did last week. Father, help me to agree with you more this week than I did last week. Father, I do thank you that we don't have to fear condemnation. We just read that. You aren't doing a work of condemnation in us. You're doing a work of freedom and power and equipping. So, Father, if there are any in this room who are struggling under a weight of condemnation, who have put their faith in Jesus Christ but have not yet fully comprehended this grace, this forgiveness, this calling that comes with power and equipping and qualification, Father, please keep pursuing their spirit for understanding. Please keep setting them free from maybe years and years of lies that have spoken that condemnation, so that they're free to just be a son or daughter who looks you in the face without fear, without condemnation, without shame. Not because sin doesn't matter, Father, it matters horribly. But that we look you in the face without shame, Father God, because you took care of it. You poured out perfect wrath on your Son. And Jesus, you willingly took that wrath so that my sin is out of the way between us. My shame and my condemnation have been removed. Father, help us to enjoy that and then to keep pursuing more and more this walk of growth that you've made possible. Help us to choose a different week this week, even if it's just one step forward, a different week, because we agree with the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.